Hi, welcome back to Agent Insider. I'm your host, Andy Jewell. I have a couple of guests with me today. We have Sarah and Rose from Colchin Land Trust. Thanks, guys, for joining me as we discuss the Colchin Land Trust. I appreciate you taking time out to do this. I was super interested in what you guys do. I know Sarah, we were talking, we've known each other for like 15 years or so, went back professionally, and we've gotten to know each other over the years. And I was helping you or walking through some insurance stuff when it came to the Colchin Land Trust, and that, because I didn't even know it existed or what it was that it the Colchin Land Trust was doing until I got involved. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. So could you guys share with me a little bit about the mission and the value of values of Colchin Land Trust?
Sure. Well, thanks for having us here. I'm so pleased to have Sarah with me here too. Sarah's our board president. I'm executive director, and it's been I've been on the job for about 6 months, and Sarah's been a great thought leader and been a true leader for our organization in a lot of ways. And so just wanted to get that out there. And so Colchin Community Land Trust, we help to create affordable home ownership opportunities for folks within our community. The way that that model works is by we purchase a land with a home on it. We then sell the home, but retain the ownership of the land. And then there's a covenant or a ground lease on that land. And in order for us to maintain the affordability over time, our homeowners have a limited equity that they get to gain over time. So the way that that works is versus a regular market home where you would buy and then you would sell whatever the market is available at that time. So you gain that equity that you've while you've owned that home. Our homeowners only are able to get 1.5% equity year over year. And that allows them to both have the stability of a home, to be able to gain their mortgage payments every month instead of it going rent to a landlord, and then they get that 1.5% equity over time. Okay. So it's a great program. We've got 142 homes in our trust right now, and we're growing that every day right now. We've got we've been able to serve 238 families so far. So awesome. There are times when folks move out, and you know it's a goal of Colchin is that we have homeowners that, you know, eventually, you know, that stability and that being able to have a home is giving them that leg up so that they're able to eventually move into a market rate home, and then we get to sell that same home to another low income qualified buyer.
So how long has Colchin Land Trust or Colchin Community? Is it Colchin Community Land Trust?
Yes.
How long has Colchin Community Land Trust been around?
We celebrated our 25th anniversary last year. So we're in our 26th year.
That's awesome. That's crazy that I have never heard of it until this year. I must live under a rock. Maybe everyone else will be like, how did you not hear? But I mean, it's a cool concept. I did like just a little bit like what you mentioned there about giving people housing stability. And I was just thinking through it as I was getting ready for our meeting today. And I was like, well, part of it makes sense. Like you said, that you're limiting the growth 1.5% of equity that you're growing. But when I think about equity, you're building equity though. Like you said, when you're paying your mortgage, right? Cause you're paying part of your principal every month. So, when you go to sell the house, it only grew 1.5% per year?
Yep.
So it only grew 1.5% per year, but I also grew money. I'm getting some of my mortgage back, right? So instead of just paying it to the landlord that it goes into his pocket, which it's fine, it's a model. But I think about that, like I bought my office here, my office building 8 years ago. And before that, I was renting an office in the Fairway Center here in Linden for 10 years. And my rent was, I think, $2,500 or $2,000 a month. So it was like $24,000 a year. So over the course of 10 years, that's $240,000 I paid in rent. And when I left, my landlord was super nice and gracious, but he didn't give me anything back.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think the other piece of it is that often our homes, the mortgage rates for our clients are under market rents. And yeah. so that's one of the benefits of the homes that are in trust are kind of frozen at the value where when they're purchased. So when you see big leaps in market values like we have in mm-hmm. the last 10 years, our homes are reselling at like $280,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And these are our homes in, you know, very, very centralized Bellingham neighborhoods. So that is the other benefit. And as you can imagine, when you're renting, you have the instability of not knowing when rents are going to go up.
Right.
And not knowing if you're going to be able to stay in a certain location for an extended period of time. And the stability that you get with owning a home and knowing that your mortgage payment is going to be fixed, and knowing that your kids are going to be able to stay in the same school district
right.
for as long as you choose to stay in that home. These are really kind of more of the intangible things that come with Culchin home ownership that, you know, are a benefit over renting.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was looking, and these people might jump on me for statistics because like, do all these numbers add up? I was trying to figure it out. But they said for people who grow up in a family that owns their own home, they're 19% more likely to go to college. If they're 11% more likely to graduate high school. So I'm assuming that the 19% is assuming over the people who graduate, 19% more likely if you come from a family that owns their own home versus a renting family to go to college, and 4.5% more likely to complete a degree. So it does make a difference. And then socially, like for kids that are unhoused or homeless or struggling with housing, there's 65% of them are arrested as teenagers. So it definitely has a huge impact in their social and economics and, you know, their opportunities moving forward. That generation, it changes when you have a family that goes into home ownership. It ends a generational cycle of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, that's crazy. I wouldn't have thought that would make such a big difference. But just owning a home for your family, probably to your point, right? Like you're not moving all the time. So you're not changing school districts and having that upheaval. You're not losing friend groups. You have more stability inside of your home and inside of your community as a whole. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the sense of ownership too, that you get, I mean, children and adults mm-hmm. with owning a home, it gives that level of that feeling of permanence where, you know, for kids, I can put all this energy into decorating my room and mm-hmm. like turning it into my space when you know that it's, you know,
when it's yours
space.
Yeah. It's not like, hey, this is your, we have to ask the landlord if we can repaint, right?
Yeah.
Like you're not in that. So, how is Culchin Community Land Trust funded?
That's a good question. We have a variety of funding sources. Primarily, though, we're individual donors and contributors is how we manage our operations. It's a critical piece to how we continue to make the mission work. When people donate to Culchin, they're helping us continue to support families through the stewardship of their home. When folks need to resell their home, we can be there to walk them through that process and hold their hand through that. And then we have folks throughout the community. We're doing outreach and education. So those flexible, unrestricted dollars that come from individual donations are really critical to the work that we do. We also have some funding that comes from the federal government through the Office of HUD, and you know those funds are at risk right now. And then we have some programmatic income that comes when homes resale, but that's a pretty limited piece of the pie.
Yeah. So it sounds like the vast majority of it is just through private donors.
That's right.
That's cool. Well, I think it reminds me, one of my favorite movies is It's a Wonderful Life. If you guys see it, I didn't watch it until I was like 17 or whatever. And then I was like, this is an amazing movie. So we watch it with our family every every Christmas we watch It's a Wonderful Life. And so it's kind of ingrained in my mind, but it reminds me, there's a scene where it's after George Bailey's dad dies. He's got the building and loan, and the whole premise is like, you got the little guy of the building and loan, and then you have Mr. Potter who's trying to control the whole town. And at one point Mr. Potter's trying to shut him down after George's dad dies. And I had to write it down because I was like, I'll say it wrong. And he said, his dad helped a few people get out of your slums, Mr. Potter. And what's wrong with that? He's like, and then he turns to everyone else. He says, you're all businessmen here. Doesn't it make them better citizens? Doesn't it make them better customers? And I think, like, for people to have that idea and to realize, when you help people get into homeownership, like, why does it matter? When you help people get into homeownership, right, it makes a better community. It makes a stronger community. You're helping give opportunities to that next generation, and you're changing the dynamics of the community. We look at the homeless issue as a whole, and people are like, oh my gosh, what do we do about this? And a big part of it is, how do we create an opportunity for people to get into homes? And I know some people are like, oh, that sucks that you only get 1.5%, but you're getting into a home, right? Like, you're getting into something that's affordable. A house for $280,000 in the Whatcom County is like half price compared to what you're going to get as a starter home.
Yeah. And the subsidies that we bring in for down payment assistance offer 10 to 30% of the price of the home in down payment assistance.
Oh, wow.
So you're not paying mortgage insurance, and, you know, it helps get you into that home at an affordable, payment, monthly payment.
Right. And it changes, it changes your monthly payment. It changes what what you can afford, and it changes that you're locked in, right? Like, you, mm-hmm. I think, Rose, you mentioned that, like, rents change every year, every 2 years. It's constantly going up. If you have a mortgage and you stay in that house for 10 years, your mortgage doesn't really change mm-hmm. for that whole 10 years. It's pretty stagnant. So that's a huge deal as well.
Yeah, we've got, there's quite a few benefits that come with being a Colchin homeowner. And, you know, some people say, well, but you're not getting that market equity. But you do get reduced interest rates on your loans. Our homeowners are all first-time home buyers, so they're coming in, and this is this is their first opportunity to get homeownership equity at all. So you get reduced interest rates, and then also we're able to work with the assessors so that their property tax isn't taxed on the market rate assessed value. Oh, okay. It's on the sales price of their home. So that stays right at a reasonable price too.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but that's a good point. Yeah, because if you weren't working with the assessor's office, they would assess it at the market value, which is going to be
significantly more. But, and then land is removed from the value too, because it's in the trust.
Okay.
So it's just the value of the home.
Right. How does that work when they're, so this is something that came up with insurance, right? To think about, like, the land is not owned by the individual, but the house itself is owned. Is that right?
Correct.
Because a lot of people were confused. That was why we were talking about insurance. A lot of people got confused because it sounds almost like a condo, right? You're like, oh, I'm part of a homeowners association. I don't own the land. So then Colchin Land Trust would be the ones insuring everything. But that's not actually how it works.
Well, and that is also a difference between our new construction and our legacy homes. So, you know, when Colchin started 25 years ago, they predominantly were just helping people with the down payment assistance piece of it. That homeowners or prospective homeowners would come to talk to them. They'd educate them on what value they could afford, like how much they could afford in a home, and then say, go out in the market and find something that fits this price point.
Okay.
And then Colchin would underwrite the down payment assistance. Well, as we all know, that with the spike in values, I would say less than 10 years ago, it got to the point where there were no homes that fit within the affordability market on the market, within the affordability level of what people could afford in the market. And that is when Colchin moved into development. So HOAs are new for us.
Oh, okay.
Because the legacy, I'm just going to call them legacy homes, don't have HOAs. They're just homes within a neighborhood. There's like some in Columbia. There's some in the York neighborhood. They're just, you know, peppered all over.
Are those legacy homes still subject to the same thing where it was 1.5% growth?
Yes.
But are they still somewhat managed by Colchin then as they sell?
Yes, they sell. They're required to sell through Colchin, okay, per the terms of the land lease.
So then they're selling it to somebody else who's qualifying as a first-time home buyer, low income.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
And I should say it's low to median income, like low to medium income. It's anything below, it's 80% area median income and below, okay, is what qualifies for the subsidies that we are applying for.
Okay. That's cool.
So 80% area median income, it's kind of a moving target and it depends on your household size. But for a family of four, that's about $94,000.
So we're not selling to, I mean, we're selling to teachers, you know, right. it's like people that need housing within the community that they work.
So 94,000 family of four, that is that 80%, is the 94,000 the 80% or is that the median income?
That's the 80% area median income. So yeah, that can be one person and have three kids. Right. And you know, a $94,000 a year job is a good job.
Right.
And yet you still, there's no way that someone earning that kind of money could afford to buy a home on the market. So right now you have to make about 140% area median income in order to buy a median priced home in Whatcom County.
Wow. That's crazy. So to buy an average house, you have to be 40% above average in your income to buy the average house.
And you have to have a whole lot of money saved for your down payment.
That's right.
So it's, you know, it's the income and you have to have this nest egg or source to get the down payment.
Yeah, that's nuts. What do you think has driven that in the community for it to get to that point? Because who's buying the houses then?
Well, the housing crisis that we're in now, I think is a, there's not one finger that you can point at one thing.
Right.
Probably the most articulated way that people are describing it now is just lack of supply. So after the bubble burst in 2008 and we had the Great Recession, people stopped building homes, but people didn't stop moving here. And so we've just reached a spot where, you know, supply and demand has increased housing costs. So the more homes that we can build, the better. And so if we can, you know, we at Colchin want to see more homes of all kinds, of all sizes and shapes. And my hope is that we can participate with our for-profit builders and others and do development ourselves in order to bring more of these very long-term, permanently affordable homes into our community, in addition to more market rate.
Yeah, I think that one of the things you said there that I was like, that's really important is all homes of all sizes, right? I think that we've turned into like that McMansion is what everybody's building, right? Everyone's building a 2,600, 2,800 square foot house, four bedrooms, three baths, granite countertops, tile floors, tile and hardwood floors, right? And it's not, those aren't starter homes. Those are nice homes, but that's not like if I'm struggling to pay rent, that's not the house I want to go buy, right? If so.
And even for, you know, even if when you're not trying to build at that level of spec, it is really hard to build at a cost that is affordable for first-time homeowners. And so the benefit that we have, and Rose has been working really hard on this with one of our developments that's about to, we just had our groundbreaking on, is getting donations from contractors, suppliers that are making those materials and more affordable.
Yeah, because just the hard cost, right? I was thinking about that. I was talking to one of the builders I know, and he's like, just the hard cost of building is about $200 a square foot. So
at least.
Right? And that's not including your land.
Yeah.
Or your permits. So if you think about that, I was like, man, like, so to build a 1,000 square foot house, that's $200,000 just in building costs. Plus your land is $150,000 to $200,000. So you're at 400,000 with your permits and land and building costs just to build a 1,000 square foot house. So that is the problem. Is part of it is that you can't build affordably. So getting donations. So are the builders like, how's that working? Is it just that people are donating to offset the cost, or what are they doing to lower the cost of building?
Yeah, well, it's a combination of things. So, you know, we are working with our subcontractors, suppliers, and asking them if there's anything that they can do to help reduce costs. We have, you know, our architect, our builder, our land use planner, our engineer have all donated pro bono time, not all of their time. So we are paying for some of their time, of course, and it's well worth it because they're a great team.
Yeah.
But between those, and then we're able to bring in grants and subsidies. So, you know, we bring in some about $100,000 per unit from the Housing Trust Fund, which is out of the Department of Commerce in Washington State. And then the city of Bellingham has a home fund also. So we bring in another $75,000 in down payment assistance. And then, you know, we'll try and get other donations and folks to give towards those projects also. But it's a complex capital stack that we put together. And then, you know, we have the thing with us is that when you build a market rate home, if it costs you more, you can just maybe sell it for a little bit more in order to make your margins, right? Well, we have a very firm cap on what we can sell our homes for because you have to be able to afford it at 80% area median income and below. So we have a real target that we're trying to hit. And what's great about the project that she was just mentioning in Birchwood, neighborhood of Bellingham, is that we're able to, through those like asks to the suppliers and materials and the donations, we want to really create a product that people love, that's durable, that will last a long time. So we really want to do high quality construction, which when you're trying to do affordability,
that's
you know,
a balance.
Yeah, there's tension there. But because we're getting those donations, we're able to really create a homes that people are going to love.
Yeah, that's awesome. It is. You got a big job. You're like, let's make homes people will love, but we got to do it on like a shoestring budget and do it for less than what everybody else can do it for.
Yep.
That's tough.
Yeah. I mean, right now the city of Bellingham has over 300 permits that are on hold because interest rates are high. Construction costs are kind of volatile right now. And so people are just not building because of that reason. But here we are, we're doing it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. What do you guys see as your biggest challenge as the Colchin?
Well, I think there's sort of twofold, right? We have our development arm, which is like, how do we serve the number of people that we could possibly serve? And so right now in our community, you know, 35% of people are cost burdened by housing, which means they're spending over 35% of their income on housing. And there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, hardworking, good people that deserve to have home ownership opportunities. And so it feels it's like a vast abyss of opportunity in what we need to do in order to help meet the need. So, you know, we need to be building more. And the challenge there is just the lack of funding that's available for that and in our capacity in order to do as many projects as we can. Right now, we have 3 different development projects going at one time.
Oh, wow.
So we're building townhomes on Telegraph in Bellingham, and those have been under construction for several years. We've got 4 that will be for sale here in the next, well, they're all under contract right now.
Yeah.
Those are closed in the next 6 weeks. We've got another 8 homes that we're starting there soon. And then we have 18 homes in Birchwood. And then we're starting a pre-development on a project in Ferndale, which is a great opportunity for us to sort of expand affordability to that community. And we'll do up to 50 homes there.
Oh, wow.
So that's a lot, or I should say at least 50 homes, in that development. So, that's, you know, the challenge is how do we continue to keep up the pace, with the demand and the need. And then from the operational side, you know, we have such a shoestring budget for keeping our staff, you know, we need high quality experts, that are out there working with folks to get them, make sure that they, are working to meet the qualifications. Homeowners have to, make some money, but not too much.
Right.
They, have to have some money, but not too much. They can't have any debt and they have to have good credit, right? Just like any homeowner would. Yeah. And so we need to work with our home, with the potential applicants and the potential buyers on how we can help them get to that point, right? And so there's a lot of work that we do on the front end, sort of bringing people along so that they're able to qualify.
You must have like a long list of people.
Applicants.
Yeah.
Right now we have 80 people on our waiting list.
Wow. And how many homes do you hope to, say, bring online but complete in 2025? Because you got a lot of projects that are going, they won't all complete, but.
Well, the four that we have that are under contract right now, those will be our homes for 2025. 2026, we'll have somewhere around 24 or 26 homes. And then we'll be working in the Ferndale neighborhood after that for a while to put those 50 homes online.
Yeah, that'll be a big project. That'll take a few years.
And then in terms of resales, so that's when somebody, you know, maybe gets another job and they can afford to buy a different house, or they've outgrown their Colchin home. Maybe they need to move. Other life circumstances sometimes cause folks to need to sell their home. And then so those, we do about six of those a year.
Okay. So you like maybe have 10 that will go through this year out of 80 on a waiting list.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. People can wait on our waiting list for 2-3 years is kind of the average wait time. And, you know, those folks are patient.
Sarah, how long have you been doing Colchin Land, been part of Colchin Land Trust?
I started as treasurer of the board 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
Now. And then I was brought in by Nicole Walker.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, Nicole, I mean.
Yes. Yes.
And she was president at the time. And then I moved into the role of president 3 or 4 years ago. And I started working on the LLC board, which is the organization that manages the Telegraph Project, which is because it's a partnership with Habitat for Humanity.
Okay.
3-ish years ago.
The partnership with Habitat for Humanity, is Colchin partnered with Habitat for Humanity?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the LLC represents, we have two board members that are brought in from Habitat, two that Colchin, and one is the Whatcom Community Foundation, because they have been a very important and valuable partner in that development. They have been providing financial support.
Yeah. Well, I think what you guys are doing is so impactful. Is it happening in other communities? Is this something that's has been replicated other places as well?
Yeah, Colchin is one of the first land trusts in Washington state, but I think there's up to like 25 now in Washington. So more and more communities are adopting this kind of philosophy of how do you decommodify housing and put it back into the hands of the people. So this is, it's a model that's working, across the nation. And we're lucky to be part of such a good cohort of cool organizations doing great work. We're all learning from each other all the time, sharing resources and sort of successes and how to make our organization stronger.
Yeah. It's just the more you guys talk, the more I'm like, man, like this is so powerful what it is. Because the problem, I talk to people all the time and they're like, problem with Whatcom County, it's a beautiful place to live, but you can't afford the housing. And like, what are my kids going to do? Because they're not going to be able to afford housing. And it, like you said, like You said 94,000, right? Is 80% of the median income for Bellingham area. Making $94,000 isn't nothing. Mm-mm. You know, it is a good job. And that's the what you need to be able to buy a house that is in Colchester Land Trust, which doesn't allow you to buy a house at market value, which is crazy. It's crazy. And I think I'm very blessed and lucky that we got into home ownership, you know, 25 years ago when it was more affordable, and it has not. I don't see the trends of it coming back down, because why wouldn't somebody sell their house for the most they could make, right? Like if you bought a house, you know, 10 years ago and you could sell it for market value, not very many people are going to go like, no, never mind. I don't need to make that much on my house, right? Like most people are going to sell it for the maximum amount possible. So having something where you've built in caps, you're giving them something to be able to get into the housing, but then it's also giving into the future to somebody else because there's caps built in.
That has actually been something that people have done for Colchin, however, is to sell their homes for under market to put them into the land trust so that they qualified.
Explain that to me. What is that? What do you mean by that? Like they're selling them to Colchin?
Well, they're selling it to a Colchin homeowner so that it was, they have sold it for less than market, but to meet the cap that our homeowners can afford. So they will sell it at that amount so that it can go into the trust and be a part of the trust.
So when they do that, then the land now belongs to the trust, and then the person they sold it to has to adhere to the rules of Colchin. So it's only going to go. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
We've even had people donate their homes as part of their like end of life giving. And that's a really powerful way for us to be able to continue to serve. And I think that leaves a legacy of that, you know, that person forever, right? These right. homes will be permanently affordable. And, you know, we will, it would be a very, very rare opportunity it would be a very rare time if we were to ever sell a home back into the market. That's just not the business we're in. And so, you know, we're going to continue to acquire and amass more homes in our network and support more folks.
So if you fast forward like 10, 20 years, what would Colchin Community Land Trust look like? What is the big picture of in 10 or 20 years from now, what would we?
That's a great question. Been on the job for 6 months. So.
Not a fair question for
and
you.
She has been doing a great job. We are so happy and lucky to have her.
Yeah, it's I see a variety of things. One is really building our development arm and creating more different types of housing. So right now, you know, we have our scattered individual single family homes. But we're developing more, you know, the way that we're able to do it affordably is through townhome development, more of a middle housing style development. Mm-hmm. So a little bit more compact, smaller homes. And I think that's, you know, kind of where people are going now anyway. But the other thing is like, how can we, leverage our for-profit development community into participating into building affordability? So, working with, you know, we work closely with the city of Bellingham and Whatcom County on policy development, creating incentives and opportunities that will help builders sort of, it will make sense for them to want to participate in the affordability. So for example, the city of Bellingham is looking at this multifamily tax exemption program, to bring it citywide. And that would be a property tax exemption, for the developer for 12 to 20 years, if they put a portion of their homes into affordability. So that coupled with other incentives could be a great way for us to continue to grow and expand the portfolio of homes. And then we also have like redevelopment of the homes that we have now. As you were mentioning, we have about 100 homes that are about 100 years old. And over time, those homes need a lot of maintenance and upkeep. That's one of the challenges our homeowners have is, you know, with limited income, how can they both pay for their kids' soccer practice and get gas in their car, and then also save money to re-roof their house, right? So those are things that we are challenges we are working through. And of course, we want to retain as many of those homes as we can. But when the opportunities arise, those are great options for us to put additional ADUs on those properties, and we can sell those as condominiums to other folks within our trust.
Yeah, because I guess you own the land, so you could add the ADU without having to. It's not complicating. It's not like, oh, you're taking my property. It's it's the trust property.
Yeah, and we would only do that if somebody was reselling. Yeah.
Right.
Like it would require that we'd have to buy the house from them and then do it.
Yeah.
Which requires a lot of money too.
Yeah.
You're not just going to build an ADU in my backyard.
No.
Yeah, we have, there's all kinds of ways for Colchin to continue to expand, condominium development. So looking at more urban style development as well. So in urban villages, again, that multifamily tax exemption, if someone's doing a condominium project, we have a developer downtown right now that is considering, he's running the pro forma to see what would it take to have 20% of those units be Colchin Community Land Trust homeowners.
Oh, wow.
That's a great way for us to collaborate with for-profit builders that are really efficient and do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll continue to, land acquisition is a really key piece for us. So while we have three different development projects going at one time, and that can feel like a lot to juggle, I still have my eye out on how we can acquire new properties and trying to find those opportunities where land is close to services and bus routes and great schools. And, that's the kind of area that we want to be rebuilding.
Right.
Hey there, folks. Thank you for joining us here at Agent Insider again this week. We also want to say thank you to Sarah and Rose for joining us for this conversation. Colchin Community Land Trust is doing some amazing stuff, and we really want to support them during this time. If you want to support them too, they're going to be having a fundraiser on May 14th. Down in Bellingham, they're going to be putting on some live jazz music. They're going to be putting out some food. And if you want to hear some good stories, feel free to sign up and join them. We've included a link to the event down below in the show notes. You can also check out their website there and learn a little bit more about who they are, what they do, and maybe if their services are right for someone in your life. So thank you again for joining us for this week's episode of Agent Insider. We hope that you come back for our next one, where Sarah and Rose get to talk a little bit more about what brought them into the land trust and what motivates them. So until then, take care, be well, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.